York and Glasgow, this is Democracy Now!
The U.S. Department of Defense has a larger annual carbon footprint than most countries on Earth, and it also is the single largest polluter on Earth.
Today, we look at the seldom discussed link between U.S. militarism and the climate crisis. The U.S. military is one of the world's largest greenhouse gas emitters and the world's biggest consumer of oil. But military emissions have been exempted from international climate treaties for decades. We'll speak to two U.S. veterans.
It is absolutely imperative that we include U.S. military emissions in the overall accounting of greenhouse gases emitted into the atmosphere, even if it is politically inconvenient to do so.
Plus, we speak to Stella Morris, the partner of Julian Assange. She is in Glasgow highlighting WikiLeaks' role in exposing the hypocrisy of wealthy nations in addressing the climate crisis.
Julian should never be extradited. Because he was doing his job as a journalist, he's being criminalized as a journalist.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Negotiators at a crucial United Nations climate summit in Glasgow, Scotland, have released a first draft of the COP26 final decision text. It's being blasted by environmentalists as exceptionally weak. Greenpeace noted the 850-word document fails to acknowledge that fossil fuels are driving the climate crisis while making no commitment to tangible actions to end global reliance on coal, oil, and gas. The draft text release came as former President Barack Obama traveled to Glasgow, where he called on world leaders to step up their actions to avert climate disaster while blasting China and Russia for hindering progress on the climate emergency. Mitzi Tan, a youth climate activist from the Philippines, said Obama's words ring hollow.
The U.S. is the country that is historically most responsible for the climate crisis, and yet they have barely done anything. They have promised so much, they have pledged so much, but they're still not doing enough. Even their pledges, which they don't even have actual milestones to get to and plans to get to, aren't enough considering the amount of emissions, amount of pollution, amount of injustices that they have done to the rest of the world.
To see Democracy Now!'s extended interview with Mitzi Tan, go to democracynow.org. This comes as a Washington Post investigation found most countries' pledges to reduce greenhouse gas emissions are built on flawed data. The Post examined 196 country reports and found a giant gap between what nations declare their emissions to be versus the greenhouse gases they're actually sending into the atmosphere. Elsewhere in Glasgow, police reportedly used a battering ram early Monday morning to break into a disused former homeless shelter that had been converted into temporary squat for climate activists. Witnesses describe Metropolitan Police and Welsh forces going from room to room with batons drawn. The officers' conduct reportedly shocked Scottish police, who arrived on the scene soon after the raid. Activists say they've since reopened this space. After headlines, we'll go to Glasgow for the latest on the COP26 climate summit. COVID-19 cases continue to surge to record highs in many parts of Europe. Germany's averaging more than 28,000 daily infections, its worst case rate of the pandemic. Austria's ordered unvaccinated people to keep out of cafes, barbershops, and other public spaces as cases expand exponentially. Russians returned to workplaces around the country Monday after a mandatory 9-day break ordered by President Putin. It's not clear whether the move will flatten Russia's COVID-19 curve. Today, Russia reported another record daily toll of more than 1,200 deaths in just 24 hours. In the United States, coronavirus cases have leveled off with an average of more than 72,000 daily infections. However, the number of hospitalized patients is continuing a slow decline. More than 1,200 U.S. residents a day are dying of COVID-19, the vast majority of them unvaccinated. The U.S.-Mexico border reopened Monday for non-essential travelers with visas who are fully vaccinated, allowing many binational families and loved ones to reunite for the first time since COVID-19 restrictions were enacted over a year and a half ago. This is a resident of Juarez across the border from El Paso, Texas.
It really is a very special day because everyone who lives near the border knows we are like one big city. The way we live and get along is unique, and that's why today is special. Because a lot of people spent the last 20 months without seeing each other, without visiting, today's a celebration for us.
Loved ones also celebrated reunions at U.S. airports as restrictions were lifted for fully vaccinated international travelers into the United States. This comes as immigrant justice advocates reported that while the U.S. lifted its restrictions for non-essential travelers, Customs and Border Protection agents at U.S. ports of entry across the southern border are still blocking asylum seekers from entering the U.S., including unaccompanied children. In related news, the Biden administration's launching an operation this week to start deportation proceedings for some 78,000 migrants who crossed into the U.S. this year but were not immediately expelled or taken to an immigration jail. In Europe, the Polish government has deployed thousands more soldiers and riot police to its eastern border with Belarus as it intensifies its violent crackdown on migrants and refugees, mostly from the Middle East and Africa, who are fleeing violence, poverty, and the impacts of the climate catastrophe. One Kurdish refugee from Syria who gained asylum in Austria traveled to the border to help his parents try to cross into Poland from Belarus.
First of all, I'm not helping just any old person. I'm helping my parents. I think in the laws of all countries, of all regions, it is not forbidden for a person to help their parents. Second of all, the people there, aside from my parents, they're also human beings. They need help.
In Nicaragua, President Daniel Ortega has declared victory and will be serving a fourth term after winning Sunday's election by a landslide. The United States, European Union, and others quickly announced they will not recognize the election results, denounced by opponents as illegitimate, after Ortega's government jailed at least seven presidential hopefuls, accusing them of being U.S. allies. Ortega, alongside Vice President and First Lady Rosario Murillo, celebrated their re-election Monday in Managua's Revolution Plaza. Ortega blasted the U.S. government for supporting a coup attempt in 2018 and for continuing to interfere in Nicaragua. Many have also denounced ongoing and crippling U.S. sanctions on Nicaragua. Mobile phones belonging to at least six Palestinian human rights activists were hacked with the Israeli firm NSO Group's Pegasus spyware. The findings were published in a joint report by Amnesty International, Frontline Defenders, and the University of Toronto's Citizen Lab. Those hacked include workers with Palestinian nonprofits that were designated terrorist groups by Israel last month. In related news, a U.S. appeals court is allowing WhatsApp messaging service to move forward with a lawsuit against NSO Group over allegedly targeting some of its servers in California to infect about 1,400 mobile devices with malware, a violation of state and federal law. This comes as Israel's lobbying the U.S. government to remove the NSO Group from a trade blacklist, arguing its software is crucial to Israel's foreign policy. The NSO Group's Pegasus spyware has been used by governments to target hundreds of activists, journalists, and government officials. The U.S. government, the U.S. Justice Department, said Monday it has indicted two hackers behind major ransomware attacks in the U.S. and has recovered more than $6 million in cryptocurrency payments. Attorney General Merrick Garland said one of the two men, a Russian hacker with the R-Evil ransomware gang, remained at large, while a Ukrainian co-conspirator had been arrested in Poland and would be extradited to the U.S. for trial. Garland said the criminal gang's ransomware has infected over 175,000 computers worldwide, with at least $200 million paid in ransom. An alleged Capitol rioter wanted by the FBI is seeking political asylum in Belarus. Evan Newman's wanted for violent entry, disorderly conduct, assaulting and resisting law enforcement. On Monday, Newman appeared on a Belarusian state TV segment titled Goodbye, America. Meanwhile, a House panel investigating the January 6th insurrection has subpoenaed six allies of former President Trump, including his disgraced former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Lawmakers want details on how the allies' false claims of voter fraud whipped up the pro-Trump mob that attacked the Capitol. In the days before the riot, Michael Flynn publicly called for a military coup to overthrow the U.S. government and during an Oval Office meeting discussed seizing voting machines and invoking a national emergency. On Friday, President Trump's former acting assistant attorney general at the time of the insurrection, Jeffrey Clark, refused to testify to congressional investigators, though he did show up, citing Trump's claims of executive privilege. In response, January 6th committee chair Benny Thompson said he was weighing criminal contempt charges for Clark. Clark was a key player in Trump's efforts to enlist the Justice Department to sow doubt over results of the presidential election in Georgia. And the Supreme Court heard oral arguments on Monday in a case that will determine whether three Muslim men from California can sue the FBI for illegally spying on them after the 9/11 attacks. Lawyers for the Bureau argue the suit should be dismissed under the state secrets privilege. In 2006 and 2007, the FBI recruited a man named Craig Montiel to pose as a Muslim convert in order to infiltrate mosques and Islamic groups around Orange County, where he secretly recorded conversations. The former imam at one mosque, Sheikh Yasser Fazaga, who is now lead plaintiff in the lawsuit, says Montiel planted a recording device in his office.
And to me, that's a very, very sensitive area. I am a therapist where people come in and they share their issues with me. But to know that the FBI potentially was recording these sessions, that is illegal, it is unethical, it is not constitutional, and it puts a lot of people's lives in jeopardy and their well-being and their rights of privacy.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. When we come back, we look at the seldom-discussed link between U.S. militarism and the climate crisis. The U.S. military is a larger polluter than 140 countries, but military emissions have been exempted from international climate treaties for decades. We'll speak to war veterans. Stay with us.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday will be sunny with a high of 11 degrees Celsius. Thursday will be mainly sunny with a high of 6 degrees Celsius. Friday there will be rain and a high of 9 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be cloudy with showers and a high of 9 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be cloudy with showers and a high of 7 degrees Celsius. Monday will be cloudy with showers and a high of 6 degrees Celsius. Tuesday there will be the chance of a shower and a high of 5 degrees Celsius.
Disrupt my flow. Disrupt my night.
Oh no.
Pack the essentials and away we go.
Oh. Too many things in my fanny pack. I should have brought my backpack. Should have brought my backpack. I should have brought my backpack. I got too many things in my fanny pack. I should have brought my backpack. Should have brought my backpack. Should have brought my pack.
Compact. Now I'm moving with that lag. Gotta just groove and lose that bag. Got a pocket from the chain for a kebab. Now I know that I need that. Got an extra load that can detract. But you know I gotta stay strapped, gotta stay strapped. Got a pony in my pack and a little K-dab. Got a horse of the crap that I really don't need. Tighten up, this buckle ain't tight enough, a rat that's quite enough, bright enough to know. Next time I'm out, all I need is my phone and a little bit of weed and a bigger bit of dough. Cause this fickle handy pack has got me moving slow. Struck my night, oh no. Pack the essentials and away we go. Oh, disrupt my flow. Struck my night, oh no. Pack the essentials and away we go. Oh,
too many things in my fanny pack. I should have brought my backpack. Should have brought my backpack. I should have brought my backpack. I got too many things in my fanny pack. I should have brought my backpack. Should have brought my backpack. Should have brought my pack.
You know. It's overstuffed when you struggle to close that zip.
Way too many. Should have brought my pack.
I should have brought my backpack. Hey.
Way too many.
it hold you down inside? Do you let it bring you down? Where does your fear lie? Does it make you want to cry? Does it sit inside your mind? Mind, memories decline, waiting by my side. Oh, American gold, the story's told. Why give up now? Where does a man go with a walled up soul? Walking in the cold. Where does a man go if his color is too bold? Searching for his soul.
I can feel the weight upon my shoulder.
A chaotic turn and a kissing burn.
Salut, on se connaît pas et probablement qu'on se croisera jamais. En fait, ça n'a pas d'importance. Par contre, il y a des gens à qui tu tiens et ça t'inquiète qu'ils doutent et hésitent à se faire vacciner contre la COVID-19. Même chose pour leurs enfants. On a tous nos raisons, mais en prenant le temps de les écouter, on peut mieux les rassurer et les accompagner. Et ça, c'est important.
Comprendre l'autre, c'est d'abord l'écouter. Des questions sur les vaccins? Visitez québec.ca/parlons-vaccin. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
You're tuned in to the Wednesday Morning After Show with your host, Sheila Ferrando, and editing by me, Nadine Scott, on Radio CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal or online at ckut.ca.
Have you ever wondered about the shape of the planet beneath your feet? If the theories on either side are valid, or if the shape of the matter even matters? This week on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we ask, is the Earth flat?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello, lovely listener, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that's aimed to be listened to while you're in the shower, but really, you can listen to it anywhere at all.
Listeners send in the questions that have been keeping them up at night, and we answer them in a bite-sized format.
Have you ever wondered why our hair turns grey?
Or why we feel dizzy when we spin around?
Or why we yawn?
Or if parallel universes exist?
Or why we love music so much?
If you have, you've come to the right place.
We have answered all of those questions. They are ready online for your listening ears, and we're just about to answer one more.
So step into the shower for another week of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Are you into your conspiracy theories at all, Taz?
Not particularly, but we've all ended up in those YouTube holes at 4 o'clock in the morning, do you know?
I know exactly what you mean. You know, like, starts off by clicking one of those, like, 10 most mysterious places on Earth, or, like, 10 alien sightings, or anything like that, that are always in the sidebar. And, like, 6 hours later, you're learning all kinds of, like, absolutely insane theories.
Yeah, because I'm quite gullible. So when somebody says, if somebody comes to me with a theory, as wacky as it sounds, I feel obliged to do a little bit of research or watch some sort of a video. Have you any of your favourites?
I have come across some amazing ones. Like, researching this episode, I came across some really fantastic ones. Latest one is, like, Tupac is alive and in Malaysia. Suge Knight's son actually posted that. So, yeah, that's...
I didn't know about that. But yeah. I knew that there was a theory that he was alive. Didn't know it had anything to do with Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. And then there's like a proper conspiracy, which is big and researched, that Paul McCartney died in the 60s.
What?
Yep. To quote an article on TheWeek.com, Beatlemaniacs point to numerous clues in the band's later albums as proof of this. And the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album...
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band!
They claim that it's awash with Paul is dead clues, such as the lyrics to A Day in the Life, which features the line, "He blew his mind out in a car," and the recorded phrase, "Paul is dead, miss him, miss him," which becomes evident only when the song is played backwards. Lennon also mumbled, "I buried Paul," at the end of Strawberry Fields Forever, although he later denied there was any hidden meaning in the lyrics and he was actually saying... cranberry sauce.
Imagine, like, he went up on trial and he was like, "I swear I was just saying cranberry sauce."
But seriously, then there's the Abbey Road album cover in which John Lennon, dressed in white, leads a funeral procession across the street. Ringo follows in black as a mourner, with George in jeans representing a gravedigger. Paul McCartney walks out of step with the rest of the band and barefoot, as some had it, he would need no shoes in the afterlife.
My entire world is falling apart.
But listen, we're not going to get into that one now. We're going to get, there's loads more. Here's some other ones that I found. Meghan Markle is a robot. The Queen of England is a lizard from the moon. Chemtrails are a government conspiracy.
Okay, chemtrails. What are chemtrails?
Chemtrails are like the trails that planes leave behind them.
Oh, okay.
Aliens built Stonehenge. A million and one theories about the pyramids, Area 51, 9/11. The moon landings are fake. In fact, if you want to dive headfirst into conspiracy theories, you should check out our friends over at Those Conspiracy Guys podcast. They go deep into all kinds of theories. We recorded with them this week. They'll melt your head.
Melt your brain. So yeah. Today we're diving into a theory ourselves. And this question has been asked by a lot of listeners over the past year and a half. Is the Earth flat?
Listen, I've properly stuck my face into this episode. And I think the only fair thing to do is kind of split this into two episodes. Because we're in a bite-sized format, I think we should go for one dedicated to each side of the argument. One for why the Earth is a lovely ball that we all live on, and the other... why Earth is in fact a frisbee.
A frisbee?
Yeah.
So which one are we doing this week?
We're starting with the conventional scientific theory that the Earth is a sphere.
Okay. Without even thinking of it, I'm going to say that this is the correct side of the argument. So what's up?
Oh, listen, I would absolutely agree with you. I don't think the world is flat, but this has been a lot of fun. First and foremost, it's images from space. You know, you can actually actively follow astronauts who are aboard the International Space Station as we speak, above our heads, who regularly post pictures of the Earth from, and I looked up the orbital height of the ISS, 408 kilometres above our heads.
I follow Chris Hadfield. Any other people that we should check out?
Yeah, Commander Kelly is the current commander of the International Space Station. Station CDR Kelly. It's super interesting. Like, genuinely, I'm fascinated by space. I love stars. I love spaceships. I love rockets. He's really good to follow. Yeah, so pictures from space are the first obvious one that jumps to my mind.
Okay, so you're saying pictures, but pictures can be faked. I have seen Photoshop pictures of you in a bikini, so...
Nothing fake about those, eh?
What's the next proof that the world is sphere? I'm going to stroke my chin here and play devil's advocate.
Right, the moon,
Right? The lump of cheese.
Yeah, the great lump of astro cheese in the sky. Aristotle made an incredible observation which proves the shape of the Earth, and that is during a lunar eclipse, when the orbit of planets places the Earth between the moon and the sun, the shadow that our world casts on the moon is round and not flat.
Okay, so far the evidence is fairly overwhelming, I will say. Mm-hmm. Pythagoras was on to a winner when he called the Earth being round in the 6th century, yeah?
Yeah.
So go on, what's the next thought?
The next one is, you know, it's pretty big. It's gravity.
What's the song?
Defying Gravity. Yeah, it's from Wicked, isn't it?
It's from Wicked, yeah.
It's from Wicked, yeah. It's Wicked Man.
Wicked Man. So yeah, Wicked. Of course, gravity. It actually baffles me that people think this world could be flat because of gravity.
Yeah, but listen, there are some very interesting and frankly mental arguments on the other side that we'll talk about next Monday. But yeah, the evidence so far that the world is round is pretty astounding. And gravity is probably the biggest one for me.
Explain for our lovely listeners and for me.
So the basic thing about mass, and I'm just going to kind of give you a crash lesson in physics here, is that mass is attractive.
That's why we're mates.
Way. The force of attraction, which is gravity, between two objects depends on their mass and the distance between them, right?
Yep.
You with me so far?
I'm with you.
Simply said, gravity will pull toward the center of the mass of the object, right?
Yep.
Now, since a sphere has a consistent shape, like no matter where you stand, you'll have the exact same amount of sphere under you. Like imagine an ant walking around on a crystal ball or an orange or a football, right?
Yeah.
From the insect's point of view, the only indication of movement would be the fact that it's moving or that it's moving its feet. The shape of the surface would not change at all.
Because there's, as you said, there's always
there's
going
a consistent
to be
amount,
a consistent distance or an amount of space.
There's going to be consistent mass underneath all the time. Yeah. A sphere's center of mass is in its exact center, which means gravity will pull anything on the surface of the sphere straight down towards the center of the sphere because there's a consistent amount beneath you at all times. This will occur no matter where on the surface of the object you're located. So then consider a flat plane. The center of mass of a flat plane is also in its center, but its center is the center of a flat plane as opposed to the center of a sphere.
Right.
So the force of gravity will pull anything on the surface towards the middle of the plane. That means that if you stand on the edge of the plane, gravity will be pulling you sideways towards the plane's middle and not straight down like you would usually experience when you stand on the Earth.
Imagine going to another country and dropping something and it flew sideways instead of down. Like that would be havoc. Bingo. Earth is 100% a sphere. That makes perfect sense. The ant example, it makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
Listen,
like an earth on a lemon with, or like a lemon's probably more oblong.
There you go. See, now this is how conspiracy theories start. This is how conspiracy theories start. But listen, we are an educational podcast. We are informative. We are going to battle this argument, right?
Okay.
One more thing to point out about the earth being a sphere and not a lemon, all right, is that it's time zones. This is the last point, right?
Time zones?
Time zones, yeah. So like, if the time in New York is 12 p.m., right? The sun is in the middle of the sky.
Yes.
Then in Beijing, where there's a 12-hour time difference, it's 12 a.m.
Yeah.
Midnight. And the sun is nowhere to be found. And then subsequently, at the same time, in Adelaide, Australia, it's like 1:30 a.m., right?
Okay.
More than 13 hours ahead, right? There, the sunset is long gone. So much so that it's almost time for the sun to come up the next morning. This can only happen if the Earth is round and turning on an axis, because, you know, that would allow part of the world to be illuminated and part of it to be in darkness. Now, there is also a theory from flat earthers about the sun being a spotlight, but we'll talk about that next week. It's mental.
Well, there you are now.
Yeah, the evidence is pretty clear, but because we are fair on In the Shower, as we've mentioned, we'll give equal representation to each side of the argument and come to a conclusion next week. These are facts that we've looked at on whether the Earth is flat. We'll be looking at it next week. Yeah. I hope this has sorted some of the confusion that people have had.
So this episode, we are giving the facts on why the Earth is round.
Yes.
Next week, we're going to tackle why the Earth is flat.
Or why certain people think the Earth is flat.
Why the Earth is flat.
Why the Earth.
I don't know. Ever since the ant and the lemon, I'm rethinking everything.
It's not a lemon, Taz. It's maybe a passion fruit.
A passion fruit?
A passion fruit.
Any Earth facts to end the episode for us?
Do you know what? Actually, after the whole lemon debacle, this fact is more relevant than any. And that's that Earth is not a perfect sphere.
I knew it.
And as the Earth spins, gravity points towards the center of our planet, right? Assuming for explanation's sake that the Earth is a perfect sphere and that gravity applies to it in that way. And centrifuge pushes that middle outwards a little bit. But since the gravity's opposing force acts on the perpendicular axis of the Earth, and Earth's axis is tilted, centrifugal force at the equator is not equal, is not exactly opposed to gravity, if that kind of makes sense. This imbalance adds up at the equator, but the gravity pushes extra masses of water into the Earth into a bulge or a spare tire around the planet. Which makes me very happy because it means Mother Nature is rocking a sick spare tire as well. Which honestly, Mother Nature is beautiful.
Come here. Explain that to me really, really quickly. So there's a tire, a bulge around the center. Why exactly?
Because centrifuge and gravity are going against each other, and basically the Earth is spinning one way, but it's on an axis, so it's not a perfect centrifugal force, which is pushing mass and water more out around the middle. So actually,
can you give me an example of this in fruit terms, or in how like I'm finding this hard to understand?
So imagine you got an orange,
yeah,
and slightly compressed it into a more lemon-like shape.
Yeah.
Do you want another fact?
Yes.
What's the tallest mountain in the world?
Everest.
There's actually a tie.
Ah.
Yeah. So either Mount Everest or Mauna Kea.
Mauna Kea.
So the summit of Mount Everest is higher above sea level than the summit of any other mountain, right?
Yeah.
Extending some 29,029 feet, which is 8,848 meters, which is mental. It's almost 9 kilometers in the sky. Like, you ran a 10K recently. Imagine running that far directly up.
I also love that we keep saying I ran a 10K recently, like it was months and months ago, but I'm still cashing in on that 10K.
However, so when you measure its true base to a summit, right?
Yeah.
Mauna Kea takes the prize, measuring over 56,000 feet.
What?
Mm-hmm. So according to the USGS, who kind of take account of the height of all the mountains, here are some of Mauna Kea's detailed measurements, right? Because we're going from true base, like the actual bottom, right? The high point is 13,680 feet above sea level, but then the flanks of Mauna Loa continue another 16,400 feet below sea level to the seafloor. And the volcano's central portion has depressed the seafloor another 26,000 feet. In the shape of an inverted cone, reflecting the profile of the volcano above it. So, if we want to go by true base, there you go. It's not Mount Everest, it's Mauna Kea, almost twice its size.
Wow.
But if you want to climb that, you have to go about 30,000 feet or 35,000 feet underwater, which is not possible.
Okay, so there we have it. So, just to round up, next week, before we tackle if the Earth is in fact flat, give me why the Earth is round.
The Earth is round for many, 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 many reasons. To kind of refresh very, very quickly, the Earth has been observed as round from space, rotating, and you can see pictures of that astronauts have pointed. Obviously, pictures can be faked. So going a little bit further, the Earth casts a circular shadow on the moon in the case of a lunar eclipse.
Yeah.
Gravity would indicate that it is a sphere because it is a consistent shape and gravity pulls things to the center of the sphere. And then we are also talking about time zones and the fact that the Earth rotates on an axis, and at any given time, part of the Earth is dark and part of the Earth is light.
I am going to spend the next week thinking of theories on how the Earth can be flat and yet cast a round shadow, how the Earth can be flat and yet have time zones,
People have thought about this and they have done the physics.
I cannot wait to hear the...
Listen,
are you going to bring it next week?
I'm going to bring it next week. I'm going to bring the flat Earth noise and we are going to come to a conclusion. But genuinely, listeners, message us about this. We would love to hear your theories. If you're an actual flat earther, message us. Tell us your buzz. Tell us your thing. Because, listen, there's a lot of schools of thought about this, and we would love to hear you.
In the shower with Tazza Marcus, 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 in the shower with Tazza Marcus.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it.
As I said, I'm very, very excited to find out all your facts and theories and why the Earth could, in fact, be flat next week.
I wouldn't say they're my facts and theories, but they are definitely someone's.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Show with Taz and Marcus. If you are new to the podcast, then as I said at the beginning, we have a whole host of episodes, over 70 questions that you can listen to whenever you want on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Questions about anything and everything that will make you a more interesting dinner party guest.
The biggest way that podcasts get bigger is through word of mouth. So if you like what we do, talk about us on social media, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your granny, put up giant billboards in your city, whatever. Just, yeah, we love you and we hope that you love us as well.
If you do love us and like what we're doing, then we would adore for you to get in touch with us. You listeners are invisible to us, so when people get in touch, it really, really does make our weeks when we can see people and we can hear that they're enjoying the podcast. And of course, if you can send in pictures of any of your animals, we would love that also.
It couldn't be easier to get in touch with us. If you're online, look up In the Shower with Taz and Marcus on Facebook or on Instagram and Twitter at In the Shower Pod.
If you want to say hi, or if you in fact have a question that you would like us to tackle on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, you can send us an email to intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
Couple of thank yous to wrap up the episode. Thank you to Alan and Paddy in the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Next up, thank you so much, Flo Robinson, for our cover art.
Thank you to the musical genius Dave Gertzman for creating not one but both of our theme songs.
And finally, thank you so much to you, the listener, for dedicating your lovely, squishy ears to us for the last 15 or so minutes. You look beautiful today. You're going to have a great week. You're a great person, and we love you.
You smell good. Next week's episode, as it was mentioned in this episode, is the counter-argument to why the Earth is round.
Is the Earth flat?
That episode will be ready next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime, keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus. 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 In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Thank you. Oh,
that wraps up the show for this week. Keep listening to CKUT.
Sleepy King starts now.